Thank you so much, Asuka and Maddie. That was awesome. Welcome, everyone. Good morning. It's so good to be together. This week was a pretty rough week for my family and I. We were all laid out with the flu at the same time. I don't wish that on my worst enemy. We've recovered enough that we're here, but it was a pretty rough week. So I'm going to refrain from greeting people out the door, and I won't be praying for people today. I mean, I'm sure I'm fine, but just to be on the safe side. So this was a little rough week, but we'll celebrate, and I'm just really, really happy to have made it and be able to minister to you all. Let's also continue to be in prayer for the middle schoolers and Pastor Theo as they return back from Pilgrim Pines from their retreat, and from everything we've heard, it has gone really well. We wanted to give a message called Word Strong today, Ephesians, just one verse, Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, 29, and I will do my best, since Pastor Theo is not here, to give a message that will be able to hit our children, our youth, high school, college, young adults, and older adults. Ephesians 4, 29. One verse, that's it for today's message. Well, we'll also look at a few other verses, but to open us up with. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is God's word. When I shared this verse with our staff this week, feels like, did you know that this is inscribed on our youth group room downstairs? I said, I wasn't really aware of that. And so he was really happy that we're going to be looking at this verse. So we started a new series at the start of this new year called Starting Strong, and all of us want to start strong. All of us want our families to do well and start strong in this new year. And I wanted to spend just a few minutes this morning at our family service to think about the theme, Word Strong. And not so much Word as in God's Word, not that we don't want to focus on God's Word, but Word as in the words out of our mouths, our speech, our language, how we communicate to one another. And just to think through together whether we are in middle school, elementary school, high school, college, university years, college years, and beyond. As we start this year together, I think it's a very, very important aspect that impacts our everyday lives. We can try to excel in many different areas of our lives that we'll be touching upon between now and the next couple of weeks in terms of starting strong in the new year. But you can do many, many areas of your life with excellence and with great success, but if you fail in the way in which you use your words, I believe that you have really failed, because it is such an important part of our everyday lives. And we, a couple years back, went through the book of James and really dissected what the Bible, especially in James, had to talk about regarding speech. We'll refer to one or two of those things, but we did talk about it in a little bit more detail. Proverbs 18:9 reminds us the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Out of our mouths, the way in which we communicate and what we communicate has the power of either bringing life to others who hear our words, or it can bring death. That is not to be taken lightly as we think about our words and our speech. Proverbs 12, 18 and 19 says this, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. I believe that as we have started this year together, making a lot of commitments to live right, to live better, we talked about last Sunday the importance of a family altar, of having a spiritual connection with God in prayer and the Word together with whoever is considered part of your household during the week outside of just the Sunday gathering, how important that is. But the way in which we use our tongue, our words during the week will really make us or break us. It will be highly determinative of what kind of year we are going to have. Through your lips and your speech, you can bring life to another, or you will bring death. And we talked about in the past how three words, I love you or I hate you, can bring life to a person or destroy them. Some of us sitting here or listening online this morning carry the wounds and are living out the consequences of hurtful words that have been spoken over us and into our minds and hearts from even when we were little children that still have a power over us. That's why words and how we use it, especially at the start of this year, thinking about important aspects of how to have a strong year, are so critically important. And at the same time, there are probably a lot of us who are here because of the words of life spoken over us when we were young, when we were a student, when we were really down at some point in our lives, when we were without hope, when we were discouraged, that God used someone to speak the words of life into our souls, and we were able to get up by God's strength and grace, embrace what He has for us, and move forward even through the valley of the shadows of death in our lives. And we are here, we're standing, we're walking, we're doing our best to live a fruitful, a productive, and God-honoring life. All of us probably carry wounds of hurtful words, and at the same time, we're here because words have propelled us forward in our lives. And that's why it is a really important area of our lives and why we need to take stock, especially behind closed doors, when it's just you and your household, whoever makes up that household. How has your speech been? How has the conversations been? How is it when your family is laid out with the flu? How does words come out, and how do we communicate? And often, when all pretenses are off, and we're in the privacy of our own homes, often, sadly, we end up wounding others with our careless, angry words, insensitive words that fails to remember the image of God, the Imago Dei, in the people that we are closest to on this planet and who love and care for us the most. We need to be very careful, especially when we are in a time of crisis, we're struggling, when we're sick, when we're tired, when we're angry, when we're discouraged, when we're down. Jesus warns us of this problem as well. Next slide. A person's speech is a barometer of their spirituality. It reveals what is in the heart. And Jesus refers to this, as we remember, in Matthew chapter 12. If you could put that verse on the screen. Matthew chapter 12. Do we have that one? Oh, never mind. This is in my my stupor of the flu. Actually, you don't have it. Let me just read it. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. Jesus says, you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. James, when we looked at before, reminds us that we in our own strength and power cannot really control our words and speech to the degree that we really would like. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And when we come to a point where we realize that no matter how careful I try to be with my words, unless there is a deeper transformation, unless something occurs, that source of that overflow of the heart is transformed, I will continually struggle with my words and my speech and my use of words into the lives of those especially that I care about. And we are reminded, even from the book of James here, only the power of God can tame the tongue. Only God's power can truly tame the tongue. If Jesus is correct that out of the overflow of a heart we speak and the words flow out, then it's not just about controlling it at this level, but as we begin this new year, how do we use our words in such ways that we don't bring death and hurt and discouragement and bring others down, but rather we bring words of life wherever we go, whomever lives with us or is near us or comes into contact with us. When we come to truly understand that only the power of God can tame the tongue, then we realize that it is to Him we must go to in order to see how our words can be used by Him to further the work and beauty of the gospel in the lives of others and the work of the kingdom. We don't have a speech problem, but we have a heart problem. And when a person is born again, when a person experiences new life in Jesus Christ, God gives them a brand new heart, a new spirit. We begin to speak a new language in terms of the gospel and its implications and its realities. We develop a new vocabulary and we have a new relationship with words and how words are used to speak into the lives of others. When we looked at James a few years back, we talked about how words can be a WMD, a weapon of mass destruction in the lives of others when we aren't careful. But through the heart transplant that we experience when we come to faith, God can transform that into a weapon of mass destruction in the kingdom of this world and against Satan and his dark powers in our lives and over the lives of others. Paul reminds us, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Seasoned with grace. And I believe that when a church and a community is so filled with the Spirit of God, that rather than bickering and complaining and backstabbing and having all sorts of conflict and fights and discouragements and complaints, I can go on and on and on, for I've been in the church world long enough. But when the Spirit of God is upon a congregation, a community of people who are following the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the use of words and speech and communication is so life-giving. People are drawn, they're impacted, they're blessed, they're moved, they're drawn to the person of Jesus. And so this morning, as we sit here together representing many different kinds of families and different communities all around this church, there are people sitting in our very sanctuary and sitting right next to you that are looking fine, but in reality, maybe barely hanging in there. And a kind word of encouragement, a life-giving sentence out of a mouth of someone next to them or from their loved one can make all the difference in the world as we point them ultimately to the hope and the everlasting love of Jesus Christ over our lives and in the lives of others. And so we keep that in mind. We are desperate people in desperate situations. And God has given us the privilege to use our words to be able to bring His life into the lives of others. And so as I think about that, just a few areas that I want to work on in my life, and maybe some of these will resonate with you, and we'll wrap up and prepare for communion. And so in this new year, word strong in worship. Anything that celebrates our connection to Jesus, as Paul reminds us in Ephesians 5, in this familiar passage, do we have that one? Speak to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's corporately, it's privately, it's to your loved ones, wherever they may be. Ephesians 5:19 reminds us that we are to be strong in our words in worship. Secondly, I want to grow in my ability to encourage others. Last Sunday was a wonderful, very full Sunday service. And I was pretty pooped by the end of it. It was awesome. As I began to come down off the emotional high of that Sunday, I received a lot of emails, all pretty good, all pretty good. One stood out. This is not a competition, and you don't have to feel pressure to send me all sorts of emails. But I got permission from the person who will remain anonymous to share this. I know I spoke to you after service, Pastor, this morning, but under your leadership, our vision is alive and well. 17 new members, what an achievement. It has been a long process. You faced a global pandemic. You guided the ship through the storm. A person who is smarter than I am, not even sure who said it, once said the pursuit of excellence is the face of adversity and invariably matched by the glory of the success. You certainly pursue excellence. It was a great day. It is important to give glory to the Lord, but also important to thank the man God chose to lead us. Thank you, and God bless. Imagine getting an email like that after a very long day of ministry work, wonderful opportunity to have the power of encouragement breathe into your soul. How will you grow in being strong with words of encouragement? I want to grow, thirdly, in being strong in thanksgiving. To be reminded of how much we have to appreciate others with simple expressions of thanksgiving, prompting them to also be thankful as well. We're so good at griping, so good at complaining. Woe is me, woe is my family, woe is my situation, woe are my problems. And we circle and spiral downward very quickly. But thanksgiving is a spiritual discipline that keeps our heart focused on God and His goodness and grace despite the challenging circumstances. About 2 weeks ago in Chicago, many of you know that I serve on a board whose responsibilities are twofold during that week, especially in the winter. The first half of the week is pretty tough. It's meeting with pastors in crisis and in cases of care and discipline. Very challenging, very heart-wrenching work. The second half is a little bit different because we meet with all the candidates like we did with Pastor Theo who have passed through all the different requirements to receive their ordination credentials or licensure, and we're the last stop before they're green-lighted to get ordained at what we call the annual meeting. And those are really great times because you see all the work, years of work and paper writing and interviews at the conference level, and then they come. For some reason this year I was particularly moved by those, they call them finalization interviews. And so you could imagine these candidates, they're very nervous. They shouldn't be, because if they made it there, they're pretty much 99%, you know, they're going to pass and get green-lighted in. But they're a little bit nervous, and they walk in, and they meet with the committee. And I got permission to share some of this. It's kind of a little window to what happens. And the candidate is waiting to hear the results. And we assure them, you made it. And then these words, I want to thank you for engaging fully in this process. We know it hasn't been easy. Right there, the tears start to flow because just the pressure now is off. They realize, oh my gosh, I made it. We want you to thank all those who have invested in your life to have brought you to this point, even those who are no longer with us in this life. Man, that was powerful. Even among us who are part of this committee, it's so hard not to get emotional. And then the last part, and finally, we want to let you know of how proud we are of you, and that your Heavenly Father is proud of you as well. And you can just hear in so many of them a whispering, thank you. Because we all long to know that someone is proud of us, especially our Heavenly Father. Boy, it was a powerful reminder of how important it is to use our words to bring thanksgiving, encouragement. It's something I won't soon forget, the power of words. And finally, and I'll end with this, I want to grow strong in my use of words in justice. Not in justice, but in carrying out justice. The New Living Translation, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9 says this, and then we're going to show a little video clip as soon as I read this. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless, and see that they get justice. This is an area that I want to grow in this year. How can I use my words and my voice to speak for those who cannot speak up for themselves? We as the church need to lean into this aspect of our prophetic call and identity as well. And I believe it's a great privilege and challenge that God gives to us that we find throughout the scriptures. This video clip, due to copyright legalities, we cannot show on the live stream. So it's going to go blank for about 2 minutes, but we'll end with this before we go into communion. And so in light of Word Strong and Justice, some of you may have seen this week. I found this so moving. I wanted to share with everyone. And then from there, we'll move into communion.
To make the powerful moment and the lesson of the playground. so many who have seen it. And right here tonight, Mr. Thomas, second grade class, so formal, saying, "Hi, Mr. Rourke." Their teacher telling us the entire class is proud of Mason and Amira.
A lot of what we do in second grade is talking about finding forgiveness in our hearts, and I think it's been a lot more for her that it's coming from him or here than it did when I was saying to her.
And right here tonight, those 2 7-year-olds, Mason and Amira.
I can help people, not be easy. Yeah. And then
so we choose Mason and Amira. Don't listen to him. Listen to yourself, he said.
Wasn't that good? Oh my gosh. I was so touched by that. And so as we think about this new year and how even thus far in the first month, how has your use of words been, especially behind closed doors, especially with those that we live with, especially when we are feeling down or angry or frustrated, it's so easy, is it not, to forget how we need to be so careful with our use of words and not bring others down, but really lift them up with words of life that are centered from the Word of God out of our hearts into theirs. I know I need to do better in this new year, and I hope that you will as well. And so with that, why don't we all rise and together confess our faith through the Apostles' Creed, and then we'll invite you forward to receive the Lord's Supper this morning. Together, one voice, please. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In just a moment, we'll invite you forward. We'll have our communion serving stations. We will serve you the elements, and if anyone is not able to come forward and would like to receive it, just raise your hand and we'll have our servers bring the elements to you, and you can take it right there and deposit the little plastic cup into the waste basket. That would be very helpful for us. And for anyone wanting prayer, we'll have one of our prayer team members available to pray. Let me just lift a prayer, and then we'll invite you forward in just a moment. And just one question I want to ask: how has your use of words been so far this year, especially in the privacy of your home? And if you're like me, we may already have regrets on some of the words that have escaped out of our mouth, especially to those that we are supposed to be the most loving towards. And as we get ready to come to the table, we are reminded that it is an opportunity to be renewed, to meet Jesus, to receive a new heart, to ask God to change us, to see his love displayed on the cross once again, and to hear the words, "I am proud of you." And so, Lord, we prepare our own hearts to receive the elements this morning. We are not deserving, but you have made us worthy because of your sacrifice, because of your shed blood. We come to receive, to be renewed, to be made whole again, and to humbly repent before you, Lord, especially in this area of our speech and words. And so, Lord, give us a new heart once again, that our words would flow, that overflow that comes from you, to be used to bring life to all those around us. And so we look forward to meeting you now through the Holy Sacrament of Communion. We thank you for inviting sinners to come to the table and feast with you. And we run to the table into your open arms once again. And so, Father, thank you for this opportunity to be renewed and forgiven and cleansed and strengthened. We give ourselves to you, and we ask that you would shape our words. Use them, Father, to further the kingdom of God in the lives of others. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. And now hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as they were delivered by the Apostle Paul. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after he'd given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread, whenever you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he returns." And so we want to invite our communion service forward at this time, and we'll be inviting you row by row to receive the elements and come reconnect with Jesus. May you find him in this time of communion. We invite you forward now to come and receive and be blessed. May the words of life allow your words to bring life. Go in peace. May God bless you this week. Amen.